One of my favorite days of the year is Halloween. And we're going to do all things Halloween here. We want to talk about your favorite horror movies, the scariest movies you've ever seen. We've got these TV specials that we're going to talk about that are Halloween related. If you want to jump in on any of this, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's the Spooktacular! Started doing the Nick D Halloween Spooktacular in 1998. So this is not the 20th anniversary, but it's the 20th Halloween Spooktacular. Spooky! And welcome to the Spooktacular. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us for the Spooktacular. What are your favorite scary movies? What movies scare you? And we got some favorite Halloween TV episodes. And so we're going to talk Halloween stuff. And so there you go. Now, Dan, did the in your neighborhood, did the trick-or-treating happen over the weekend?
We did not get any. I did not see any trick-or-treaters.
So you're thinking tonight you'll
probably
have.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you guys don't live in like a cul-de-sac.
Correct. Yeah. You know? We live on a regular avenue.
Northwest side avenue, yeah. Street.
Bunch of bungalows.
Bunch of bungalows. Chicago, man.
<Yeah.
laughs> Well, so if anybody who's, did some Halloween stuff over the weekend, give us a call, 312-981-7200. And if you saw some costumes that you thought were kind of clever, I would imagine, as we were talking about the other morning, that the young ladies this afternoon and evening will be dressed as Wonder Woman. I believe that will be the number one costume, considering how much money that movie made and what a phenomenon it turned out to be and how many girls embraced it. It was really funny because, you know, girls have been dressing up like Wonder Woman all year since the summer, because when I saw the Wonder Woman, there were girls in the audience that were dressed as Wonder Woman or had Wonder Woman T-shirts on. And then every time I would go back to see a movie during the entire summer at the Plexus, inevitably Wonder Woman would be playing in one of the theaters that we were, even if we weren't going to see it. And everywhere, little girls running around with the Wonder Woman costumes or Wonder Woman T-shirts on. So that's going to be a big one. So if you got some trick-or-treaters coming, expect a lot of Wonder Women. Yeah. I would imagine Batman and all the, it's Justice League comes out in like 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, just superhero in general,
yeah.
It's going to be a safe bet for a lot of the most popular costumes.
Do you think anybody will go as this guy?
Trick or treat!
You think Fartenstein will make an impression?
That's an underappreciated costume. Because, I mean, really, all you need is a Frankenstein costume and a whoopee cushion.
That's it.
You might not even need the whoopee cushion.
Not if you, depending on your diet.
Yeah,
Yeah. So, and then there is, of course, his best friend.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
There you go. These are wacky looking guys, though. Like, Fartenstein has his tongue sticking out. I don't know if anybody has seen. We've taken pictures. We put pictures of
pictures
Fartenstein.
Pictures up on the Facebook
pictures
page.
Are up on the Facebook page. If you want to see what Fartenstein and Count Fartula look like, you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So they're here for a visit as well. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Dan, do you have a favorite? Are you a horror movie fan? You like them, right?
Yeah, I'm not especially.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a couple, but it's not the genre. It's the one I kind of just avoid.
Is there a reason for it? You just don't like to be scared?
Yeah,
or,
I mean, it's just one of those things where there are other genres that I like more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's one of those things where just kind of. And none of my friends were really into him, so it was just, it was never on
yeah.
the docket. My friend Adrian gets so upset with us because he's always just like, hey, we're going to go see Happy Death Day. Do you want to come? I'm like, nah, it's all right. We're going to see a movie. We're going to see something else.
Uh-huh. So, all right. Well, the horror movies that are out right now, Happy Death Day is out right now. I still haven't seen it. Jigsaw is out, and it sucks. And It is still out, and it's good. So those are the three, major horror movies that are out in theaters this week, if you're looking to see a horror movie. The obvious choice is It. Now, I don't think Mother is a horror movie, although it horrified a lot of people. And of course it's not out because it was a massive bomb. That I will say this, Dan. That is the first movie. I'm trying to think when the last movie was that got such passionate responses from my listeners.
Interesting.
Mostly on the negative side.
Right.
Because people were mad at me when I gave it a great review. And I still think it's one of the best movies. I think Mother is one of the best movies of the year. But it really pissed off a lot of people. Like, it made people angry. That movie made people angry.
In your opinion, out of all your time being a film critic, is it horror movies that you get the most, I can't
complaints
believe
about?
Yeah, because what was the Joel Edgerton movie?
Oh, It Comes at Night. Another one of my favorite movies.
You also got a lot of complaints about that
one,
right?
We totally did. That's another one. That's a horror movie, and that's a great movie. That's a terrific movie. Yeah, It Comes at Night. Boy, people hated that movie, too. That was the most vocal that a crowd has been. There were like 8 women sitting in the front row when we went to go see It Comes at Night, who, as soon as the credits came on, I can't believe that was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It was so stupid. You know, it's going to be on my top 10 list probably at the end of the year. And Mother, just people were just so angry at about Mother. I don't know. But I don't think Mother's a horror movie. It's crazy. It's crazy psychological thriller stuff. But I don't think it falls under the category of horror. I think It Comes at Night does. Yeah. Another movie that got a more recent one from a couple of years ago, The Witch. When The Witch came out, people didn't know what to make of it. And I think it's one of the best horror movies of the past 15 years. But people were just not up for it, man. They didn't get it. And it was weird, too, because it's not the kind of movie that, like I've said this before, I saw that movie in a multiplex next to a Buffalo Wild Wings in Skokie. That's not where you see that movie. You know what I mean? You don't program that movie, The Witch, at that theater.
Right. And those films obviously are, too, because they're fighting both sides. People who might not be horror fans.
Yeah.
Who are coming to see it kind of expecting something suspenseful and
yeah.
not necessarily anything. And then the horror fans who want a Jason or a Friday the 13th type thing where, like, somebody's getting stabbed every 5 minutes.
Right. Right.
Those aren't that either.
No. It was an interesting reaction. I mean, you know, The Witch was one of my favorite films of last year. And it was an interesting reaction because I went with my buddy Mike View, who is not a horror fan at all. Not a horror fan at all. And he really liked it. Because, you know, it was an unusual movie, like you said. Because a lot of people think of horror movies, they think, oh, hockey mask, axe, you know, people jumping out and getting killed. When something really artistic and challenging and different comes out, I think people who have certain expectations for horror movies are going to enjoy that stuff. And we've had a lot of good stuff over the past few years, a lot of really thoughtful, interesting, and very scary horror movies. It Follows from a few years ago. An outstanding movie. We mentioned Monday morning yesterday. All of us mentioned how much we love The Babadook, which I think is one of the scariest horror movies of 25 years. And it's about something. It's about dealing with grief and the death of a loved one and how that manifests itself in your relationship, in this case, between a mother and a young son. Yeah, no. So, I mean, there's a lot of really interesting Don't Breathe. Nice little piece of genre suspense. So there's been a lot of really good stuff lately. There's been strong years for horror movies. I mentioned Eyes of My Mother from last year. I think if I'm not mistaken, if I actually grabbed my top 10 list or my top 20 list from last year, I think there were like 8 or 9 horror movies on it.
Yeah, I seem to remember you pointing that out when you were revealing it.
It was a strong year for horror last year, and it's been a strong year for a while. So, but I want to hear from you guys, the classics too. They don't have to be new horror movies. What are the scariest movies? What's the scariest movie you've ever seen? The scariest movie you've ever experienced, whether it be in a theater or on TV or however you watched it. The one movie that scared you more than any other movie that you've ever seen. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Roger, do you have a favorite scary movie?
Well, I love the classic monsters, of course. I'm kind of like Dan. I don't go out of my way to watch horror flicks.
Yeah.
It's not one of my top genres. I think the movie that has always stood out since I first saw it in college that has stood out as far as one of the scariest moments where I've seen en masse an audience jump out of their seat is Wait Until Dark.
Oh, sure. Wait Until Dark when he jumps out of the darkness.
Exactly.
Because the fridge door is open.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good movie, too. And, you know, I actually saw that on stage. And it was amazing.
It was a good staging of it?
Yeah, well, Tarantino was in it.
What?
Yeah, it was in New York. Tarantino was
God.
In it. Quentin Tarantino played the Alan Arkin role.
Wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was good.
And so, a warning to everybody, if you watch Wait Until Dark, which is a great movie, totally, it's well-acted, well-written, and you need to make sure that every light is out in the house.
Well,
I mean, seriously.
If you're talking jump scares, and that's what we call those jump scares, when something pops out and you jump out of your seat.
And you're not expecting it.
That's way near the top of the list.
Yeah.
Carrie, the end of Carrie.
Yes.
Is maybe the best jump scare of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of great ones. Halloween, there are five or six great ones in Halloween. One of the best ones ever is in Exorcist 3.
I never got past the first one.
Which is Exorcist 3 is a criminally underrated movie.
Mm.
And I think just as scary as the first one. And really interesting and awesome, and it's an amazing movie. Exorcist 3, for anybody who's seen the Exorcist 3, you know where I'm going with this. There is a scene in a hospital hallway where a killer jumps out with a white robe on and a pair of bush shears to cut off this nurse's head. And this, I'm telling you, this scare in Exorcist 3, one of the greatest and most effective jump scares of all time. I mean, I've seen the movie 900 times, and I jump every time that scene happens. It is an amazing moment. I remember the first time seeing that movie in the theater, people went nuts during that scene, like screamed and jumped. It was just, yeah, Exorcist 3, one of the best jump scares ever. So, all right, we got a break here. We're talking about Halloween and stuff because it's the spooktacular. So we got more coming up. One of the greatest music scores of all time.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, the scariest movie I've ever seen. This is from Dario Argento's Suspiria. A movie I've talked about a lot. Insane Italian horror movie. Celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. They're actually screening it at the Music Box. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. They're screening it at the Music Box next week, part of the 40th anniversary. And Jessica Harper, the actress who stars in the movie, is going to be there live. Yeah, it's the spooktacular, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're talking about scary movies. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen? 312-981-7200. And we were talking about great jump scares in movies. Roger was talking about Wait Until Dark. I mentioned Carrie and, of course, Exorcist 3. And those are some of the moments that we want to talk about here on the spooktacular. And let's go to the phones. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, I missed the show yesterday, but I DVR'd Svengoolie, so I asked Dan if that was going to count as a Nick D Show Spies moment.
Yeah.
When Svengoolie mentioned it. So.
Yeah, I was just thrilled to. I was on a Svengoolie show on Saturday. They showed footage from every year I introduce Sven at the Flashback Horror Convention, where he is the host of the costume contest, where people come in all kinds of crazy costumes. And every year I get to introduce Sven and hang out with Rich. And he showed a clip of that where he actually, you know, commented about how I made the Walk of Fame, which was really nice. And it was really appropriate, in my opinion, that he had a clip of me on his show when he was showing a Peter Cushing movie. That was like, well, that's perfect.
Actually one of my favorite Hammer films.
Oh,
too.
Me too.
Brides of Dracula. I saw it on the 3:30 movie.
It's a great movie. Brides of Dracula is a great, great movie. And that scene where he cauterizes his wound with the hot poker. Oh my God!
How the hell did he just not? I mean, I thought it just collapsed.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw that and just. Did he really just brand his own neck?
He did. He branded his neck, and then he poured holy water on it, and he got rid of the... I didn't know that that was a way that you could get rid of a vampire bite, but I like it.
At least for Peter Cushing, it worked.
Yeah, of course. Face Van Helsing, man. You can't mess with Van Helsing. So,
no, you cannot. Yeah. No, you can't.
Yeah.
Now, I always talk about Night of the Living Dead,
yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
That movie, I don't care how many times I see it, The Exorcist doesn't scare me nearly as much as that movie does. It freaks me out every freaking time, every time.
Yep.
And that is that. There's only two Romero movies where they actually call them zombies. All the other movies, they don't do that. Because in that one, there were things or things that looked like people or marauding ghouls.
Right.
And Day of the Dead, there were a name I can't say on the radio.
Right, right.
And, you know, even though Land of the Dead, there were stenches, but they said zombies in Land of the Dead.
They did say zombies, yeah. Yeah.
Diary of the Dead and Survival of the Dead, they did.
Right.
And that's brings me to another thing. Are you looking forward to this Road of the Dead movie?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm hoping for good things, you know?
Well, they're saying Road Warrior meets, Death Race with elements of Ben-Hur.
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
So, I know. Yeah. And that the Exorcist jump scare, yep, I saw it in the theater, same reaction. And I even own that on VHS, and no matter how many times I watched it and was prepared for it, you're just not prepared for it. No matter, even if you mentally prepare yourself, you just can't.
Yeah, and we're talking about Exorcist 3, right?
Yeah, Exorcist 3, that's right, and which I think I'm with you, because I like Brad Dorff in that movie.
He's great in it.
Okay?
Brad Dorff's performance in Exorcist 3 is not only one of the best performances in horror movie history, but I think one of the best supporting performances of all time. I think he's phenomenal in that movie. Brad Dorff is phenomenal in Exorcist 3.
Yes, he was. And, El Rey's played Suspiria last night. And on the subject of El Rey and TV horror films, have you been watching this Crow's Blood thing they've been playing?
No, I have not.
It is a Japanese, high school horror drama, and it's extremely gory, and it's just out there.
Wow.
I mean, very violent, very gory, way out there. About these girls, that one girl jumps off of a building, dies, and comes back to life as some kind of super strong, whacked out zombie-like thing. It's very, very, very bizarre.
I'll take a look at
it. Very bizarre.
All right. Patrick, thanks, buddy.
No problem. Take
care. See you later. There you go. There's Patrick talking about scary stuff. Now, I do have a list here of the 75 best horror movies of all time, and they're in alphabetical order, so this is not in order of preference. I'm going to fly down some of these. If you guys want to jump in, what are your favorite horror movies, your favorite horror movie moments, jump scares that freak you out, and I'm going to talk about some of the best horror movies of all time, and we want to hear from you on that. And I'm going to play a couple of clips from horror movies, and we'll listen to that as well. But let's get to David. Hey, David.
Hi. One of the best jump scares I liked was Magic, where a guy had a mannequin, and a mannequin was alive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Anthony Hopkins, and he was a ventriloquist who went nuts, and his ventriloquist dummy's name was Fats. Anne Margaret was in it, Ed Lauder, Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
Very, very cool movie.
I was about 7 when I saw that.
Yeah, that's a little young, but yeah, that's a good movie, a very, very good movie. Yeah, good stuff.
That's the best jump scare, but one of my favorite movies was the Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman.
She had a apartment, and she had an elevator shaft that was all her spider webs, and she was always killing people, bringing up to their apartment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look for that one. All right, David, thanks, man.
You're welcome. Bye.
Take care. All right, let's play a clip from a movie. Let's play a clip from a horror movie here, and I think you guys will recognize this one.
You asked me what I think is best for your daughter. 6 months under observation in the best hospital you can find.
You show me Regan's double. Same face, same voice, everything. And I'd know it wasn't Regan. I'd know in my gut. I'm telling you that thing upstairs isn't my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, not a bad movie.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I read the book.
Yep.
A couple of years before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And I was in high school at the time.
Right.
Could not put it down.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Movie comes out. I'm in college. I already know the book. I already know the story. And I'm in, TV production, so I know the tricks of the trades and stuff. And everyone around me was freaking out at the movie. I'm sitting there laughing my butt off.
Yeah, well, you're weird.
We know that.
I screened it last year in October. My mom, who saw it in 1973 and never saw it again because it traumatized her so much, my mom came and spent the entire movie with her hoodie over her face.
No.
Oh, yeah, she was terrified. The entire movie, terrified.
Oh, God.
Yeah, The Exorcist. It's legendary. Okay,
yeah.
we got to take a break. We got the news coming up and then more of the spooktacular. Join us. Welcome back to the Nick D. Halloween Spooktacular. We're talking favorite horror movies. We got horror TV shows, scary stories. Tons of texts are coming in. People are on the line. It's the Spooktacular, 312-981-7200. Dan, do you know what that's from?
I do not.
I'll play a clip.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
There you go. Now do you know?
Shinning?
The shinning, yeah.
The what?
That's the parody that they did on Simpsons. But The Shining, that's from The Shining.
You're right.
With Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall. You guys know about the horrible stuff that Stanley Kubrick did to Shelley Duvall during the making of that movie. Like, she's,
no.
Oh, my God, he was insanely abusive to her. He made her do 150, 200 takes at a time.
Mm.
You know, told Jack Nicholson to really go at her and, like, really abuse her.
It was a great movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and it's a great performance. But, you know, she's at some points in that movie, she's not acting. Like, that insane anxiety and crying and screaming. You know, I mean, she was sleep-deprived. Mm. Kubrick put her through hell. And that, like, that acting that she does, particularly in that scene, that was, like, it was Shelley Duvall being Shelley Duvall. Like, terrified and gone through hell. So... Mm. Vic, do you like horror movies?
I do.
Yeah, what are some of your favorites?
I kind of hate them at the same time.
If I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Some of my favorite. I'll tell you this much. I only go to a horror movie maybe once a year, twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites would probably be where she was. What's the famous one where there was a possession?
The Exorcist?
Yeah, The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a big movie guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably my favorite. Yeah. That one really gets me.
I mean, you know, I'm
not into gore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
I'm into all of it. I like it all. I like the old black and white 1930s Universal monster movies. That's what got me into horror. And I like people getting their heads cut off and blood shooting out all over the place. I'm fine with all of it and everything in between. But yeah, there's a lot of great ones out there. We got some text. Mark the Breadman said, my two boys and I will be watching the original trilogy of Romero zombie movies for Halloween. My four-year-old daughter will be Wonder Woman. Yep, there you go. That makes sense. 847 area code says, The Strangers is the scariest movie to me. Okay, 847, who texted this in. Let me just make a suggestion, okay? The Strangers, which is a movie came out in 2008 with Liv Tyler and Ben from Felicity. Scott Speedman. It's a home invasion movie. These people just show up at their house and sort of break in and freak them out and torture them. And it's a good movie. I like it. I think The Strangers is a good movie. But there's a movie that it's based on. The Strangers is based on a French film called They. Okay? And it's not to be confused with the Giant Ant movie. Or, sorry, it's Them. It's called Them. And it's not to be confused with the Giant Ant movie with James Whitmore. It's not at all that. This is a French movie, came out in 2006, and the French title is Eels, which is ILS. That's where The Strangers, it's basically an unofficial remake of Them. Go rent Them or stream Them. Again, it's from 2006, French movie, the title is Eels, ILS. Them is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. It's 10 times scarier than The Strangers. And it's the same kind of thing. It's a home invasion thing where these two people are out in the middle of nowhere in this house. in the middle of the woods, and people, things start messing with them. And I have a, one of my phobias is home invasion. I freak out at home invasion stuff. It freaks me out. When I was a little kid, somebody was trying to break into our apartment, and I saw him trying to get in, and I was like five, and it scared the hell out of me and scarred me ever since. And I've had, you know, recurring nightmares about home invasion, and I freak out about it. If a door is left unlocked, I freak out. So any movie that features home invasion automatically is going to freak me out just by my anxiety. And Them was one of those movies. I saw it with my ex-wife. I saw it with Heather, and first time I saw it. And I was literally, she was like holding me at one point during the movie. I was like sitting, I was like had my knees up to my chin at one point. And it was, it scared the hell out of me. It freaked me out. And it's very similar to The Strangers. And like I said, The Strangers is kind of an unofficial remake of the original movie called Them. So if you liked The Strangers, 847, please find the movie Them from 2006, French movie Them, and it will freak you out even more. If you thought The Strangers was scary, wait till you see Them, which was one of my favorite movies of the year it came out. Scared the hell out of me. 773 area code said, just seen The Babadook earlier this evening. Pretty freaky, yes, The Babadook. Babadook is great. Mentioned many times on the show. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, happy Halloween, Nick.
Yeah, same to you.
Hey. Yeah, I'm old-fashioned like you. I love the old 30s Dracula, Wolfman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But The Haunting with Julie Harris.
Yeah, that every year when we talk about horror movies, I think The Haunting comes up most consistently every year that people were freaking out about that movie. Here's the great thing about that movie is, like, nothing really happens. You don't see anything on screen. It's all suggested. And it's a really scary movie. A really scary movie, The Haunting, yeah.
And no one brings up Dementia 13.
Coppola!
Yeah, first.
Yes,
first.
Yeah, yeah, crazy movie. Made for Roger Corman, Dementia 13 is Coppola's first movie. Long before The Godfather, long before Conversation, all that stuff, and it was about a crazy axe murderer.
The other evening on TCM, they had Dracula AD 1972.
Sure, Christopher Lee, man.
And I tell you what, has one of the hottest women in movies.
Carolyn Monroe.
Oh,
please,
gosh.
Man, please. Carolyn Monroe is one of the hottest women that ever walked the planet, and oh my
god, I've only seen her in two movies.
Well, what?
John Philip Law, Sinbad, I think The Golden Voyage of Sinbad.
She's in The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. She's in Maniac.
Okay.
She's in a Star Crash, which is one of the worst movies ever.
Well, they had to put her in it to bring the people.
Well, yeah. No, she's been a lot. Oh, she was a Bond girl. She was in Spy Who Loved Me.
That's the other movie I saw her.
Yeah, so she's Carolyn Monroe, man. She is magnificently beautiful woman. Unbelievable. So, all right, Mike, thanks, man.
All right, happy Halloween, Nick.
You too, buddy. Yeah, that's I remember when I was a little kid, man. Carolyn Monroe was one of the first women that I would see on screen and go, oh, whoa, what's happening here? she stirred some stuff up inside me that I'd never felt before. I'd look at Carolyn Monroe and go, wait a minute, what's happening to me right now? Oh, my God, did I love her. Here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Excuse me. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, The Last House on the Left.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, it's campy by today's standards. Me and a couple buddies went to it, you know, late 70s. I think it came out in 72. I own it, and I can't even look at it.
Yeah.
It was that and Last House on the Left. Don't Look in the Basement, Last House on the Left were double features.
Oh, yeah.
Don't Look in the Basement. We had to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had the element of an insane, you know, back then they called them insane asylums where the most disturbed
right.
patient takes over.
Right.
And so it's one of those movies where, like, wow, this could really happen. Maybe it's outside my hallway. It was a little too immediate for me, and it's still, to this day, it's bone-chilling.
Yeah, but don't look in the basement, yeah.
And I don't even know why it freaked me. It freaked me out to that day, you know, back then and still to this day.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, and again, you look at it, it's not a production masterpiece by any stretch.
Right.
But it's there's a little too much unknown to where.
Well, there's something to be said about the rawness of that movie. You know, it adds to the effectiveness of how scary it is.
Yeah, and everyone had a certain disorder in a hospital
right.
that you can, you know, that was very identifiable.
Right.
And Judge Oliver W. Cromwell, I mean, the guy was acting like a judge, and,
right.
and the woman with the doll who thought it was her child. It was
right.
Just all the elements added up to your head was on a swivel, even if you're watching it at home.
Very so, true. All right, Steve, sir. Thanks, man.
Great show, man.
Thank
thanks.
You. You know what's funny is that he mentions this because, you know, in the 70s, and in the early, into the early 80s, they would do double features. They would, you know, release two movies, you know, at once, and you would sit with, through both of them. Now, that doesn't exist anymore now. You don't do, they don't do double features anymore unless you go to a drive-in. But what he's talking about was the re-release of Last House on the Left, and they put it with Don't Look in the Basement. I vividly remember that double feature being out. And because they had the catchphrase, one of the greatest taglines in movie history is the tagline for Last House on the Left, which was, it was, I don't know, whoever came up with it is a genius, whoever came up with this, to keep from fainting. This was the tagline on the poster of The Last House on the Left. To keep from fainting, just repeat, it's only a movie. It's only a movie. It's
oh,
only a movie.
Is that
it's
where
only
that one came from?
It's Last House on the Left.
I'll be.
And then they used it for other movies, including
right.
when they re-released Don't Look in the Basement with Last House on the Left. It said it was the It's Only a Movie double feature, where you're supposed to sit there through both movies and just say it's only a movie. It's only a movie. It's only a movie. I don't know who came up with that tagline. It's one of the greatest
Great.
Taglines. One of the greatest taglines in the history of movies.
Yeah.
Not just horror movies, movies in general. So a couple more texts here before we break for weather and traffic. Let's see. 773 area code, The Mist. Oh, my God. The Mist, the ending of that movie. Oh, Dan, have you seen The Mist?
No, I haven't. I know the ending, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, man, oh, man. 417 area code says, Poltergeist 2, when the old preacher showed up, I told my date, who is now my wife, that you can stay here, but I'm out of here. So there you go.
And she kept him anyway.
They're married now, but he left during Poltergeist 2. Poltergeist 2, which is actually the worst of the series. But, yeah, the old preacher dude was pretty scary. I will admit, the old preacher dude and Poltergeist 2 was pretty scary.
Don't Look Now, as we've been thinking of movies,
yeah.
I saw it in the theater, and I was totally confused by it, but I was freaked out by it.
Well, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
And one of my very favorite movies of all time. And it's terrifying. I think the movie's terrifying. I think it's absolutely terrifying. It's got one of the greatest surprise endings, twist endings of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Sutherland, Julie Christie. It is Nicholas Rogue directed it. It's a beautifully shot movie.
Yeah.
It made me want to go when I first time I saw it. I immediately wanted to go and visit Venice, which sounds weird because it makes Venice look insanely scary,
extremely
like eerie. Yeah. And I would never, you know, like, but I was like, man, I want to go to that place, and maybe there'll be a little kid running around in a red hoodie. It made me want to go to Venice. A lot of people never want to go to Venice after they saw that movie because it's so scary. But yeah, Don't Look Now, a great movie, a classic. All right, we're doing a spooky-tacular. Yeah. All right. Yeah. If you grew up in Chicago and you watched TV on a Saturday night on Channel 9, then you recognize that song. That is Experiment in Terror by Henry Mancini, and it was the theme of Creature Features every Saturday night on Channel 9. And that's how I spent my Saturday nights in my youth. Every Saturday night I'd watch Creature Features, and that was, you know, they would play that theme, and then you would see clips from all the Universal horror movies put together, and then Marty McNeely would do the poem, the scary Creature Features poem. And I always knew on Saturday nights when I was a little kid, and I watched this is pre-SNL, by the way. I watched it every from the late 60s all the way through, and I always knew that I was up too late when I was still awake when Nightbeat came on. That's when I was like, oh. Because Marty McNeely would host Nightbeat. It was like a late night news show, and it would follow Creature Features. So I knew that I was up too late. Like when Nightbeat came on, I'd be like, I'm up too late.
Well, so, what would be the consequences?
Nothing. Just me realizing that my parents are like, go ahead, watch, you know, They let me stay up and watch the Creature
Features.
You
had cool parents. You still have cool parents.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. It is the it's the spooktacular. It's our 20th spooktacular. And let's see. Let's say hello to Jasmine. Hi, Jasmine.
How you guys doing?
All right.
Well, recently my mom took me to go see It.
Uh-huh.
And I should probably clarify, she's the one that likes horror movies.
Mm.
I just watch them because I want to spend time with her.
Okay.
But I don't think I'll ever look at a drain the same way again.
Yeah. It's a pretty scary movie. How old are you, Jasmine?
17. I'm gonna be 18 in November.
You'll be 18 in November. You're old enough for it then. Yeah, that's fine.
My mom over the weekend actually, she asked me if I wanted to see I think it's called Carrie, that movie with something about a girl that goes to prom.
Oh yeah.
And I the only reason I know about it is because I've heard about it through like the radio and the internet, and I'm like, Mom, let me enjoy my prom first.
Yeah. Well, you might want to go to your prom first before you see it. And by the way, if you're going to see Carrie, and I recommend it because it's a great movie, make sure you get the original and not any of the two, because it's been remade twice.
I think my mom, she has like different versions of it.
The original one from 1976 with Sissy Spacek, that's the one that you need to see, Jasmine.
I'll make sure to clarify that.
Yeah.
And quick question, are you dressed up tonight?
No, as a slob. I do have a Scream t-shirt on though. From the movie Scream.
I'm going to be a Navy sailor at school today.
Oh, good for you, a Navy sailor. Cool.
Well, I hope you all enjoy your Halloween.
Thanks, Jasmine.
Bye.
Bye. Take care. Carrie, huh?
That's a great one too.
The movie scared the hell out of me. That movie scared the hell out of me. 11 years old, man. Scared the hell out of me. My friend and I, Dan Long, went. Not the Dan Long that works here, but the Dan Long that was my best friend growing up. And my dad, the three of us went. We saw it at the Lake Theater in Oak Park. I'll never forget it. The movie scared the hell out of me. And we saw it at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, and that's not a theater that we went to regularly. My dad would sometimes go, hey, let's go to a theater that we've never been to before, or let's go to a theater that's not nearby just so you can, you know, see. Because my dad was like, well, I'd love to take you to different movie theaters. You could see,
sure.
You could see as many in different movie theaters all over, you know, the area.
Right.
So this was the first time we ever went to the lake in Oak Park. So I wasn't familiar with the area. I didn't know where we were. It wasn't like, because we were normally went to the theaters down in the Loop was where I saw, because I knew those theaters, I knew the neighborhood, everything. So we go see Carrie, and it's dead. It's a Friday night, and it's dead. It's a very quiet area where the Lake Theater is in Oak Park. Well, at least it was in 1976. And so we parked. We had to park a little farther away, so we had to walk to the theater. And we get to the theater. We get in, and this was in the days when they would have show times. It would be like 10 minutes between show times.
Mm-hmm.
So like a movie would be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. And they would let the people in and stand in the lobby while the screening that was happening right now was happening.
Right.
So we're standing in the lobby with a bunch of people waiting. We went to the 10 o'clock show, 10 p.m. show. So the 8 o'clock show is still running as we go in. So we get in, we get our popcorn. We're standing in the lobby. And so the 8 o'clock screening is happening right now. Full house in the theater watching it. And we're just kind of standing outside, and all of a sudden, we hear the loudest scream.
Oh, my God.
The entire audience screamed at the top of their lungs, screamed, and went, ah! Ah! And then there was, like, weird laughter and screaming. And immediately, Dan and I looked at each other and went, what the hell just happened? And what happened was the hand coming out of the grave at the end, okay? So now we're freaked out. We're like, okay, well, clearly this is going to be the most terrifying movie ever made because the entire audience just lost their mind. So we get in, and we're sitting, and we're watching the movie, and the movie is great, and it's really terrifying, and it's really scary, and I'm really loving it, and we all forgot about the fact that we had just heard the audience scream 2 hours earlier. And when the hand came out, boom, everybody, and then we had to walk back to the car in a weird neighborhood. Nobody was out. I was freaked out. I got home. I turned every light on in the house. That movie scared the hell out of me. And not just the ending. Everything about that movie scared the hell out of me. And now, of course, it's one of my favorite movies.
To me, there were scarier parts during the middle part of the movie than it was at the end.
Listen, Piper Laurie is terrifying.
Oh, my God.
Piper Laurie is terrifying in that movie.
Yeah.
It is a great film. So anyway, Jasmine, make sure you watch the original. All right. We got a break here. We got the news coming up next and then more of the Spooktacular. We're going to talk about Halloween TV episodes as well. Welcome back, everybody. Scary. John Carpenter's score for Halloween, one of the most iconic movie scores of all time. Yeah. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. And the great Steve Cochran at 6 on this Halloween morning. It's the 20th Nick D Halloween Spooktacular. We've been talking about scary movies and scary things. Bunch of texts are flying in, and we're going to talk about TV, scary or Halloween TV episodes that were classic. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us with any of your thoughts on that stuff. And we've been listening to some clips from horror movies, some scary movies. See if you guys remember this.
They're probably watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of a person I am. I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know. And they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
God, that sounds so familiar.
It's Psycho. It's the end of Psycho.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, it's the end of Psycho.
See,
man.
You had me tricked because I thought we were talking TV, and you threw that movie at me.
No.
Yeah.
That's Psycho, oh, man. That's classic.
God, great movie.
Linda says, personally, I love all the old Universal monster movies, including Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Yeah, that's classic. Yes. Classic. Yeah. Great jump scare in a non-horror movie is in the Harry Potter series. It involves a snake jumping out at everyone, and then it made the entire theater jump. You know, I just remembered a jump scare that is one of the greatest jump scares of all time. Hmm. There's two of them in this movie. Jaws has two of the greatest.
Gosh, yes.
Two of the greatest jump scares of all time. One, when you first see the shark jump out right before he says you're going to need a bigger boat.
Right.
And then the other is when the decapitated head floats out through the hole in the sunken ship.
Yeah.
Those two of the biggest jump scares of all time are in the Jaws.
And who would think that would be like a horror movie? I mean,
it's adventure movie, but it's scary.
Yeah.
And people were traumatized by it when it came out, and a lot of people do put it under the category of horror.
Mm-hmm.
708 area code says, I just watched The Babadook, and I was disappointed. Oh, come on.
What?
Then I watched Ouija, and it scared the crap out of me. Oh, boy. Doug in Kansas City said, at the end of The Blair Witch, my body temperature dropped 10 degrees, ice cold chill. Yeah. The final shot of Blair Witch Project is one of the most terrifying final shots of all time. That last shot, one of the best and scariest final shots you'll ever see. Doug in Kansas City also says, Exorcist 3 was the only time I ever peed my pants in a theater. Thank you for sharing, Doug.
How old was he when that?
Well, you know, came out in 1990, so I don't know. But that's the jump scare that I was talking about with the hedge clippers in the hospital hallway. I'm telling you, people who've seen that movie, it's one of the greatest and most effective and scariest jump scares of all time. Beth said The Haunting from 1963. It's in black and white. There were no special effects, but the movie is scary. We mentioned The Haunting before. Pete said, the 1978, I saw Last House on Dead End Street at the old 53 drive-in, and I almost barfed twice.
Jeez.
Peter in Decatur, American Werewolf in London, one of the best.
Yeah.
I saw this movie about 1,000 times when it came out, and there were something like 3 endings. American Werewolf in London is a great movie. Just a great movie, directed by John Landis. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Nick. I just wanted to bring up High Tension. It's another French movie.
Yeah, great movie.
You brought up a French film earlier, Ill?
Yeah, it's called, the American title is Them.
Uh-huh.
You can find it under the title Them. But if you stream it or rent it and all of a sudden it's black and white with giant ants, you rented the wrong movie.
No, I'm familiar with the old 50s horror Them movie.
Right. The difference in the title is there's no exclamation point because the James Whitmore giant ant movie is Them because it's got an exclamation point at the end of it. So,
is it better than High Tension?
I like it better than High Tension. I love High Tension. I just think I adore High Tension. In fact, if you could actually see my phone case, Dan, I'm holding it up, That's from High Tension.
Ah, my phone case
is a picture of the girl all bloodied up with the woodcutter.
Yeah, I wish I could go back and see it again for the first time because
that's a great movie. It's a great movie.
That and just wanted to bring up Creature from the Black Lagoon with Julie Adams.
Yeah, legendary. Legendary.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. All right, and here's Irving on WGN. Hi, Irving.
Yeah, it's Irwin. How you doing, Nick?
Happy to you and everybody out there. Same to you, buddy.
First of all, I want to start out by saying thank you guys so much for playing the Creature Features theme.
Yeah.
That brings back so many memories.
It's like as soon as I hear that, I'm 6 years old again sitting in front of the TV.
I hear you. My parents used to have a picture of Jesus, of all things, on the wall. And when I'd fall asleep watching it, sometimes I'd wake up and I'd look and I swore it was Dracula and he was looking at me. But I was telling Dan there were a couple ones that scared the living bejesus out of me, man. And one of them was the Trilogy of Terror with Karen Beck and that little doll.
Yep.
That was insane. And Session 9.
Oh, Session 9 is a terrific movie. Not many people have seen. That's a creepy movie, man.
Yeah, and the ending, spoiler alert, I guess you could say, when he says at the end, Simon is alive in the week, and what is it, the weekend, I can't remember the line. But yeah, those were classics. And, of course, like you said, the Exorcist, Night of the Living Dead, when you were talking earlier, I was like 9 years old when I first saw that, and we did not have a color TV. We had a black and white TV.
Yeah.
And I got up in the middle of the night, and I turned that on, and I freaked out. I was hearing car doors slamming. I lived in an apartment building, and I was seeing people walking around. I was turning every light in the house.
no, it'll freak you out. It'll freak you out. It's a classic. All right, Irving, thanks.
All right, have a good one.
Take care. Trilogy of Terror, by the way. One of the legendary, that was a TV movie. People forget that was a TV, made for TV.
Mm-hmm.
The first two stories sucked.
Yep.
The last one was great. The last one was with the little voodoo devil chasing Karen Black around. And it's a movie that stayed with people, and has become a classic.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people forget that was made for TV. So, all right, how about some other ones here? 847 area code says Christine. Yeah, great movie. John Carpenter. You can't go wrong with John Carpenter. Come on, you got The Thing, you got They Live, you got Halloween, you got The Fog, you got In the Mouth of Madness. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Brian in Aurora says, the only movie that ever gave me nightmares was Child's Play. My cousin and I did the original 3 in a row when we were 5 years old. Mm. Okay.
I don't know. Village of the Damned.
Village of the Damned, also, by the way, remade by John Carpenter.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, remade by John Carpenter, the original.
Was the original from England?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
It's Village of the Damned, and there's Children of the Damned, which is his sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter remade Village of the Damned. It was the last movie that Christopher Reeve made before his accident.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Let's see. Trucker says that The Ring scared me. The girl at the bottom of the well, I can't even describe how scary that was. Yeah, that movie did nothing for me, man.
Mm.
The scene where the horse freaks out on the ferry, that scared the hell out of me. That really freaked me out.
That was a massive advertising campaign.
Well, that movie was huge.
Yeah.
You know, it was a remake of Ringu, a Japanese horror movie.
Okay.
765 area code says, my favorite horror movies, Halloween, The Exorcist, Night of the Living Dead, The Wolfman, and The Omen. The Omen. It's nothing better than a creepy little kid to put in the movie.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got a break here for weather and traffic. We got more coming up on the Spooktacular.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha. That one rattled my bolts.
Thank you, Count Fartin, Fartula, and Fartenstein. Yeah, that's music from Halloween. It is the Spooktacular, and we're talking about scary movies and scary stuff. We'll talk about Halloween TV episodes as well. And we've been playing some clips from some horror movies. Here's a clip from one of my favorites ever.
Bought yourself some time, son.
Little Jesse.
There's something I'm meaning to ask you.
Yeah, what might that be?
How old are you?
Let's put it this way. I fought for the South.
South?
We lost.
Hey, Caleb, let's go out and look at the night.
Right.
Yeah, baby. Near Dark, one of the best movies ever. That's the great Lance Hendrickson, who, let me just say, I've had the pleasure of getting to know Lance Hendrickson. He's been to the Flashback Weekend 4 times, and I got to hang out with him. And he's just one of the coolest guys on the planet, seriously. And he's also one of the coolest actors. And Near Dark, he's so amazing in Near Dark. And that was Catherine Bigelow directed that movie long before she won the Academy Award for Hurt Locker and went on to direct Zero Dark 30 in Detroit. By the way, Detroit, one of the most criminally underseen movies of 2017. And I really hope during awards season they start pushing it to get some nominations, because it was a really great film, a really, really, really powerful and great film. But anyway, Near Dark, another one of those movies. 30 years ago it came out. God, I am old. So Near Dark came out 30 years ago and failed miserably at the box office because it came out a month and a half after Lost Boys. And everybody was like, it's a ripoff of Lost Boys. Lost Boys is a piece of crap. Near Dark is 8 million times the movie that Lost Boys is. But, of course, you know, now 30 years later, Near Dark is considered a masterpiece. Nobody went to see it when it came out, you know, which is the case for so many great movies, especially John Carpenter movies. You know, everybody's talking about, like, at this time of year, everybody talks about how great the thing is, how amazing it is. Nobody went. Where were you in 1982? I was there. I went repeatedly to see it in the theater. And now it's considered a masterpiece.
You're way ahead of your time.
No, Carpenter is. That's what I'm trying to say. Carpenter's way ahead of his time. Steve says, I actually enjoyed the found footage film Frankenstein's Army. I found it delightfully disturbing. 630 area code, 1971's Let's Scare Jessica to Death. One of my favorite movie titles of all time. Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
Hey, what's this movie about?
Well, they're going to try and scare Jessica to death. That's essentially what it's about, too. That's pretty much what it is. Scott from Streamwood said the movie The Birds was pretty scary. Yeah, oh, yeah. Birds is scary, man. Scary movie. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Here's this list. Alien, American Werewolf in London, The Babadook, Bay of Blood, The Birds, The Black Cat from 1934, which is a great film. Black Christmas, one of my favorite. I always watch that at Christmas time.
Which one is that?
Black Christmas from 1974. They remade it in 2000-something, and it sucked. But the original is great. It's terrifying. Olivia Hussey, Keir Dulay, John Saxon. Really scary movie about a lunatic who is holed up in the attic of a sorority house and terrorizes the girls.
Ooh.
Great movie. It was the first time that you've heard this trope many times in horror stuff. It was the first time they ever used, we've traced the call and it's coming from inside the house.
Oh my God, that's in every other movie.
That was the first time it was ever done, was in Black Christmas.
Oh my God.
And people including me, freaked out. That's a scary movie. The original Black Christmas, directed by Bob Clark, who, by the way, directed A Christmas Story.
No.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he did. He also directed Porky's. And Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things is another one of his movies. He started out as a horror film director and then moved on to comedies. And he ended up making, and as far as I'm concerned, two of the most legendary classic Christmas movies of all time.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas Story, which you get to watch 24 hours a day on TBS every year. Mm-hmm. And then this Black Christmas, which is considered a horror masterpiece.
Mm.
Let's see. We've got Cabin in the Woods, which is one of the best recent horror movies. Really, really good, really clever. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Cat People, Cemetery Man, The Changeling. Very scary movie. George C. Scott. Here's the thing about The Changeling. Best seance scene in the history of movies is in The Changeling. The scariest seance scene you'll ever see in a movie is in The Changeling. The Conjuring from a few years ago, Dawn of the Dead, the original, which is one of the best, Dead Alive, The Descent, we mentioned Don't Look Now, the original Dracula, Drag Me to Hell, Eraserhead. I don't know. That's a comedy.
How did they get into?
No, it's not a comedy. I'm just joking. I think it's funny, but it's incredibly creepy. Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, The Exorcist, Eyes Without a Face, terrifying movie. The Fly, 1986 version with Jeff Goldblum, also a lovely love story. As far as I'm concerned, I think The Fly is a love story. I think it's a heartbreaking love story.
Yeah.
Freaks, From Beyond, Funny Games, Halloween, Hellraiser, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, directed by Chicago's own John McNaughton, shot right here in town with the great Michael Rooker. That's one of those movies that a lot of people just see once. My friend Scott walked out of that movie and then had to come back in. He had to leave the theater. There's a scene. Have you ever seen Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
No.
It's a phenomenal movie. It's terrifying, though. And there's a scene in the movie where Henry and Otis, who is his partner in crime, do a home invasion. They break in, and they do a home invasion, and they videotape the whole thing. And they do awful things to the people in the house, and it's all on videotape. And during this scene, my friend Scott Oaken, Scott was like, I'll see you outside, man. I can't. He got up and walked out. He walked out, and he came back in like 10 minutes later and was like, is it over? And I'm like, well, that scene in particular, if you've seen Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, the scene where they videotape the home invasion is unbelievably horrifying. Unbelievably horrifying. To the point where my friend was like, yeah, I'll see you outside. I'm going to be outside. So Tom Towles is the actor, the late Tom Towles, who's a terrific actor. He plays Otis in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and he is a scary dude. In that movie, like Otis, in my opinion, Otis is more terrifying than Henry. And the movie's called Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Otis is more terrifying. Mm. So first time I saw Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, which, again, shot right here in Chicago, Chicago crew, directed by the great John McNaughton, and was premiered here in Chicago at the Music Box Theater at a midnight show. So my friends and I go. Oaken, as I said, was there, and he got up and left during the home invasion scene. We all go, midnight show. And we're all there, and we see it, and it's a terrifying movie. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer is a raw and intense, terrifying movie. And like I said, Tom Towles, who plays Otis, is horrifying and will haunt your nightmares after seeing the movie. So the movie finishes, and we're all, I mean, we are just completely spent. It just like, oh, my God. I mean, really, a terrifying, raw movie. So we get up, we walk out, and we're walking out of the theater. We get in the lobby. Who's in the lobby? Tom Towles, who played Otis.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, and I walk up and I'm like 1 foot away from him. I'm like, ah! And I totally freaked out. And I didn't even go up and say hi to him. I didn't introduce. I didn't do anything. I said, I can't. Otis is standing right here. I got to get the hell out of the theater right now. Oaken ran. And it's like, that's it. I'm done, man.
That was the premiere?
It wasn't really a premiere.
Uh-huh.
It was the first time they showed it at midnight. And Towles is from Chicago, so he was there. There was no announcement. He didn't do a Q&A. He was just out in the lobby. So he's just standing in the lobby when we come out after seeing this movie. And all of us are like, well, I got to go change my shorts. This is ridiculous. So, all right, we got a break. And then we're going to talk about, after the break, we're going to jump into some. You guys, what are your favorite Halloween TV episodes? We'll jump into some of that. We got a couple more movie clips to play and some scary music. We'll wrapping up the spooktacular with some Halloween TV episodes. 312-981-7200. News is next. Freddy Krueger, baby. Little Nightmare on Elm Street for you on Halloween morning. To freak you out. It's Halloween. First Nightmare on Elm Street, by the way, classic. I don't know what's happening right now, but Roger's walking in with a box on his head. Are you? Oh, you're a blockhead. Okay. Yeah, I don't need you walking in like that while I'm playing the Nightmare on Elm Street theme. That's something that I don't need. So you went all out for your costume this year.
Yeah, sure
cardboard
did.
Box and you put some holes in it and stuck it on your head.
That's right.
Wow. All right.
Cheap man's costume.
It's the spooktacular, and we're going to be talking about TV episodes, Halloween TV episodes. But first, we got Al on the line. Hey, Al.
Yeah, Nick.
Hey. Yeah.
I need help. I need somebody to tell me what the name of this movie is.
where these five people are stuck in this room and the walls change and move around, and there's a mathematical genius in the room. But the trick is they can't get out because the room changes its direction. The doors move to someplace else. The room can actually cut your body in half if you leave off. If you go out of this, I can't. It's.
How old is it, Al?
It must be. Oh, I've seen it at least 10 years, more than 10 years ago.
Okay, all right. Because it sounds like it could be. I mean, it sounds a little bit like a Twilight Zone episode, but that would be much older than that. All right. Well, we'll leave it out there. Is it in color or black and white, Al? Do you know?
Well, I think I see it in black and white.
Black and white. Okay. Maybe somebody will know. All right. Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
Okay. There's also The Haunting, which has a similar thing happening. Then in that it might be The Haunting. I'm not really sure, but it sounds to me like there's an episode of Twilight Zone where there are a bunch of people who are stuck in a room.
And there's an adventure episode of The Avengers where the room keeps moving around.
Yeah.
Depending what door you go in, that keeps changing. So
yeah, Avengers was in color though.
That episode,
Avengers was always in color, wasn't
it?
Oh no, it started out in black and white. It started out in black and white, and then it went to color. So, all right. So we'll keep that out there. If anybody knows, 312-981-7200. People are saying texters are saying it's The Cube. That's what it is. That's The Cube. It's The Cube. Yeah. Al, it's The Cube. And there have been like four sequels to it. So that was one of those. That was actually a pretty cool. I've only seen it the one time years ago. I completely forgot about it. Yeah. It's Cube. And there's some real great decapitations in it and bodies getting chopped up into pieces. Like in walking through, like look like wires, and you get chopped up.
Oh, lovely!
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. All right,
I got another movie clip here, and we'll jump into some TV episodes. Let's see. We'll play this one. This will be the last one we'll play this morning from a movie, and then we're going to jump into TV. And we want to join you we want you to join us.
Now clear your minds. It knows what scares you. It has from the very beginning. Don't give it any help. It knows too much already. Now. Open the door.
That's a movie that I never found scary. Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yeah.
Never found it scary. I've seen it like 12 times. The best part of the movie is when the guy's face falls off in the sink.
Mm.
You remember when he's in front of the sink and he's pulling his face apart?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite part of the whole movie. That movie, I don't know, it just never did it for me. It never scared me.
But that voice is so specific.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard it,
It was the little lady from the Poltergeist movies. So, all right, there you go. All right, let's talk about TV episodes now. Obviously, the first thing that pops into my head are any of the Treehouse of Terror stuff that they've done for The Simpsons, because every year they do a Treehouse of Horror. They do a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's it's hard to choose which one's the best one. I liked the one where Homer. Do you remember this one, Dan? Where Homer and I want to say like all three of the stories were really strong on that episode. But one of my favorites ever is where Homer is stuck inside the house, like in another dimension, and he's suddenly three dimensional, like he's computer generated, and. He's in the wall of the house, but he's in yet another dimension, and he's like, it looks like where am I? And everybody in the house is, you know, they got Quimby is there. No, Quimby's not there. Wiggum is there, and you know the family. And he's like, what's it like in there? And they're like, it's like, did you guys ever see the movie Tron? And then everybody goes, no. And then Wiggum goes, yeah, I mean, no. And the ending of that episode, Dan, do you remember the ending of the episode?
He, like, ventures out into the real world.
The real world. It's one of my favorite moments ever, is, like, Homer ends up in the real world, not animated, and he's three-dimensional. He's animated, but he's three-dimensional. And he's walking, and he ends up falling into a trash bin. And he crawls out, and he's walking around, and he's really scared. He's like, oh, no, what's happening? And he's all freaked out, and he's walking, and he walks past the bakery, and the bakery has a sign in the window that says erotic cakes. And Homer goes, ooh, erotic cakes. And he goes into the bakery, and that's the end of the episode. It's so funny. And I love that. That's one of my favorite episodes. That one and the one where he the toaster that keeps changing history. He goes back in time, and he at one point he's like going back in time, and the toaster keeps changing time periods and changing history. And he goes back, and he sees the family, and everything's normal because all the other worlds that he's going to have been really weird. And he's back in the house, he's with the family, and everything is normal. And he's like, "Oh, this is good. Do we have any donuts?" And then Marge goes, "Donuts? What are donuts?" He goes, "Oh!" And he leaves and presses the button. And as soon as he leaves, Marge looks outside and donuts are falling from the sky. And she goes, "Oh, it's raining again." But Homer left already. If he would have stayed, he would have been in a world where it rained donuts. Oh, my God. And then the Omega Man, where he's the last man on the earth. Where Homer's the last man on Earth. That's a great one. So many great episodes of the Halloween episodes of the Simpsons. Now, Dan, you're in How I Met Your Mother.
I am, yes.
The Slutty Pumpkin.
Yes.
I think we talked about this one last year.
Yeah.
Can you explain?
So the lovelorn protagonist of the show is a guy named Ted. He's always trying to find the love of his life.
And is that what's his name from?
No,
How I Met Your Mother.
No,
or not How I Met.
Not Doogie Howser. Not Neil Patrick.
No, the other guy, the Robert Siegel guy, Jason Siegel.
No, not him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's the other guy.
The other guy. played by Josh Radnor. And so he's the guy who's telling the story to his kids about how he met their mother.
Right.
And one of the unrequited loves of his life is the girl known as the Slutty Pumpkin. She was the Slutty Pumpkin because the cutouts were in strategic areas.
Right.
And he met her at a Halloween party and got her number, but then a drink got spilled on it, and he never had it. So he shows up as a hanging Chad every year to the same party because that's the costume he wore that year.
So it was 2000,
yeah,
Halloween?
Exactly.
No, Halloween 2001. That
yeah, yeah, so he wears the same hanging Chad costume every year, hoping that the girl he never saw her face would show up, recognize him as the hanging Chad, and eventually they
could That's pretty funny. Yeah. Now, I'm not familiar with Boy Meets World. But they've got a Halloween episode from Boy Meets World
it's a
here.
Comedy.
Yeah, I know. I've never watched it. Parks and Rec, they've got a Halloween episode from Parks and Rec. And this is a great one. It's one where Jerry has a heart attack. And here's what they say. Leslie and Ann give Jerry a heart attack while Ron's relationship goes south when he's forced to take his girlfriend's kids trick-or-treating. But once the episode's extended fart joke finally ends, what's left is the smell of sweet romance. Ben gets down on one knee and proposes to Leslie on one of NBC Comedy's most touching scenes. It's a great episode. Great episode. Mm. Friends, the one with the Halloween party. And it was the only Halloween episode that they did.
Oh.
And Friends was on for, 10 years or something. Yeah. And Sean Penn was a guest star on it, on that episode. Dan, do you know that episode?
Do you know that episode?
Well, I created it. I'm just testing you.
Yes, I'm familiar with that episode.
let's see. What are some of the other ones? I don't remember this, but MASH had a Halloween episode.
Oh,
called Trick or Treatment.
I don't remember one.
The staff dons costumes for the annual 4077th Halloween party with Hawkeye as Superman, BJ as a clown, Margaret as a geisha, Colonel Potter as a cowboy, and Klinger as Al Capone. In the operating room, Winchester is being bogged down by incoming patients, including one who is presumed dead while the surgeons trade ghost stories. I don't remember that at all.
No.
It's clearly a latter episode because Winchester's on there, and it's Winchester and BJ and Potter, so it's a later episode. Yeah. So, Gilmore Girls, they had a few Halloween episodes, but they're picking the one where Rory turns 21. Lorelai and Rory's estrangement keeps the mother and daughter from celebrating the 21st birthday. Instead, Emily takes it upon herself to throw her granddaughter a party, but she has no interest in attending the bash. The title is 21 is the loneliest number. So was Rory born on Halloween? I should know that, considering that I'm the president of the Gilmore Girls fan club.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break here. We got weather and we got traffic, and we're talking Halloween TV or scary TV. 312-981-7200. I want to mention a couple of episodes of Night Gallery, which was Rod Serling's follow-up to Twilight Zone, which was more horror-oriented. Mm-hmm. Twilight Zone was more sci-fi and fantasy. And it got scary, but Night Gallery was pretty much all horror, all scary stuff. And there were a couple of episodes of Night Gallery scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
And a great theme song.
Yeah, fantastic. Ooh, scary. Spooktacular! It's our 20th Nick D Halloween Spooktacular. That's music from the original Hellraiser, Clive Barker's fantastic original movie. Very, very, very cool movie. And now we're talking about scary TV stuff or Halloween TV episodes. Yeah, and here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm gonna go back a few years, but when we were growing up, it was Shock Theater.
Yeah.
And it came on Saturday nights, and everybody got their pajamas and ate popcorn, and we watched all the old monster movies, Frankenstein, the werewolf, and all of that.
Yeah.
The only other one that was scary that wasn't really a scary movie back in the day was The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that scared a lot of people. That's a science fiction movie, but there's some scary stuff in it for sure.
Yeah, but I can't remember the guy's name that ran Shock Theater. I showed you Old Spooky Mansion.
Yeah, yeah, I can't remember the host of Shock.
Dan, could you... window or the basement.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember his name, though, who was the host of Shock Theater.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember his name. All right, thank you, Jim.
Okay, take care. Good show.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Now, I know... I used to watch Svengoolie with Jerry G. Bishop,
right.
And I watched Creature Features, which didn't have an on-screen host.
No.
And Shock Theater, did
Terry Bennett's Marvin? Marvin?
Yeah, Marvin. That's it, Marvin, yeah. Was the host of Shock Theater. And then, let's see what else. There was, of course, Elvira and Up All Night. They did that, too. But, of course, now we have Rich. We have Svengoolie.
Yeah.
And he's the best. So, but yeah. So, Night Gallery was a show that, if you've not seen it, a lot of really great directors got their start on Night Gallery. By the way, Steven Spielberg did some of his first work ever episodes of Night Gallery. In fact, he directed one with Joan Crawford. Joan Crawford was in an episode of Night Gallery. The one episode of Night Gallery that I always remember, and I loved Night Gallery when I was a little kid. I watched it all the time. And you're right about the theme song, very creepy and very cool. Rod Serling would be walking around through this weird gallery filled with portraits and stuff, and he would stand in front of the portrait, tell a little story, introduce it, and then you'd go to a vignette, and it would be a different story each episode, sometimes two stories per episode. The one that I remember the most, the one that scared the hell out of me, there were a lot of them. There were a couple. I remember Bill Bixby was in one that was really creepy, and there was also one about a giant spider that kept growing in the sink of this guy's kitchen, and he was a jerk. And like the Twilight Zones, there's a lesson that has to be learned at the end. You know, like somebody, the protagonist did something wrong and they got to learn a lesson and all that stuff. But this is the one that just killed me. And I want to say that the Sandra Locke was the girl in it. And it was a young Sandra Locke. And I want to say the guy was Jack Cassidy. So he's out on a date with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at dinner, and he's a real jackass. He's obviously a chauvinist, and is treating her very condescendingly, and he's a complete jerk.
Yeah.
And so, maybe it wasn't Jack Cassidy, maybe it was somebody else. But so anyway, what he does is at the dinner, and if anybody watched Night Gallery, I swear to God, you probably remember this episode because it was the creepiest episode ever. He gave her a brooch. Like during the dinner, he gave her a little gift, and it was a brooch, that looked like a bug, like a rat, like a possum insect kind of a thing,
mm-hmm.
Very unattractive. And he pins it on her, takes the pin off, and it stays. And he's like, it's a new thing. It doesn't need a pin; it will stay on. So he puts it on her shirt or her jacket or whatever it is, and it stays on there, and it won't come off. This creepy little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So during the date's not going well. They're not getting along. He's given her a ride home. He makes a move on her in the car. She's like, let me out here. So he lets her out in the middle of the night. And this is, I believe it took place in England or Ireland. And so she's out on the road, and suddenly the brooch starts to grow. Like the bug, possum, ugly thing starts to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's like the size of a horse. And it kills her. Okay? Two drunks. The end of it is two drunks are coming back from the pub on the road, on this outskirts of this road, and they're like, did you see that? And they talk about they thought it was a cow or whatever it was, but it was the brooch leaving. So the brooch kept growing. And this brooch, and I don't know what it was called. Maybe it was called The Brooch. I have no idea what the title of the episode was. But it scared the hell out of me, and it's one of those things that has stayed in my head forever. Like, I'll never forget what that brooch looks like and how it kept growing. Yeah. Sandra Locke is running down the road trying to get away, but this ugly rat-looking creature that's stuck to her won't leave, and it keeps growing and growing and growing, and it gets bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, it traumatized me when I was a kid. It scared the hell out of me. So I don't know. Dan, is there any information on the...
Yeah, I'm not finding anything under that name, but I'm going to keep looking.
Okay. It's Night Gallery, Sandra Locke, and I don't know if it's Jack Cassidy, but man, that is the scariest episode of that show.
Now, I saw... I tried to stay away from The Outer Limits and Twilight Zone. Both of them creep me out.
Yeah.
The themes creep me out. The opening sequences creep me out. And again, I was younger when they first came on.
Yeah.
But there was one episode, I think it was The Outer Limits, where it was an alien race that, no, excuse me. It was a foreign power, like Chinese.
Yeah.
Where they were kidnapping American diplomats, the president, vice president, and everything. And they were injecting themselves, the Chinese were injecting themselves with a formula and then taking a mask of the president or vice president and pressing it and holding it until their facial features matched it.
Yeah.
And that one freaked me out. I don't know why.
Well, there's a lot of episodes of those shows. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we found out the title of the episode is A Feast of Blood.
Ooh.
That's the title of the brooch episode with the rat-looking thing that keeps growing. And it's not, Dan, did you see it? Is it Sandra Locke and who's the dude? It's not Jack Cassidy, is it? Because I keep thinking it's Jack Cassidy. But anyway, so it's A Feast of Blood, and that's with the crazy rat-looking brooch.
Norman Lloyd.
Always played a jerk. Norman Lloyd always played a jerk. Anyway, if it's A Feast of Blood, the scariest episode of Night Gallery. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, Roger.
Yep, you got
okay,
it.
Roger Battish in for... Esmeralda all week, and tomorrow we're going to talk with a guy who created Cine Apocalypse. It's a film fest that's happening at the Music Box next week. All right, we got a break. News is coming up next.